Isn't he wonderful? Don't you just love him because he's so lovable? And he's made himself lovable to us who are unlovable until he loves us. Then he makes us lovable. Isn't that precious? Well, I tell you, God is so good. Along with the CDs back there are our new prayer cards. And you please feel free. They're on the table as you're starting out through the foyer there. Feel free to pick you up one of these and take it home with you. They're free. They're to remind you to please pray for Miss Pam and I because we need your prayers. And so you pick up one of those on your way out, and we would appreciate it very much. It's been good this week. I tell you, the Lord has really blessed, and he blessed me. I've been blessed and have enjoyed being here in the services. And I know that this is not the last night, but just in case the Lord comes back before tomorrow night, I just want y'all to know we've had a great time. Amen. And I thank you for taking such good care of us, and we praise the Lord for that. Y'all always have. Y'all have always been generous, and we do thank you for that, and we praise the Lord for you. And I tell you what, I know the truth. If it weren't for God, I wouldn't like y'all at all. Amen. And you wouldn't like me either if it weren't for God. And some of you don't like me in spite of God. Amen. That's all right. I tolerate some of you too. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12, beginning with verse number 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Actually, well, the whole book, the whole Bible is great. Amen. But chapter 12 is an encouragement to us, and it kind of instructs us of how to live and how to serve the Lord. The first two verses are a challenge to us, and they are really a command to us. And so with that in mind, I want you to look at these two verses in Romans chapter number 12. If you'll stand with us tonight, we've been preaching about having that right relationship or an intimate relationship, a close relationship with the Lord. You say, Brother Danny, but last night you got on a point and it was called the distractions. And you said that we're going to be distracted from now on. I mean, there's nothing we can do about it. There's going to be those distractions that are there. And it's the truth. They're going to be there. You say, well, yeah, but there's got to be a way to deal with them. I mean, my goodness, you know, there is. There is. And I believe we find it in these two verses right here that we're about to read. And we find that God is telling us how that we can cope with the distractions and keep the distractions well away from us, enough that we can go ahead and serve the Lord, because God wants this close relationship with us. Romans chapter number 12, beginning with verse number 1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Now notice, he's talking to Christians. Amen. If you're not a Christian, I apologize to you, but you cannot have a close relationship with God. You say, I pray every day. Well, bless your heart, but You're not getting in touch with anybody. Because listen, you say, well, Brother Danny, I'm praying to God. He's not your father. You're not his child. Amen. I mean, if my dad were alive, you could go and beg him all day for something, but that don't mean you'd get it. But if I were to go and ask him, chances of me getting it's a lot better than yours, aren't they? Why? Because he's my father. So it is with our Heavenly Father. And we sometimes folks just get the idea, well, I pray. Well, bless your heart. That's good. And I believe God listens in, because he's waiting on one particular prayer. That is the prayer for salvation. He's waiting on that one. He's looking for that one. And so here he's talking to the children of God. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you again for your precious word. And Lord, we just are thankful, dear God, that you've given us your word. Lord, we're not running around down here trying to figure out what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to live. And Lord, I'm glad that you've given us your word to instruct us. and to tell us and then to show us, Lord, you've given us examples in your word. Not only are the instructions there of how to live, but you've shown us through the examples of how to live, and we thank you. God, we just pray tonight that you'll once again meet with us and bless. Lord, thank you for the song service. It's been good tonight. Lord, sing tonight the fellowship has been light in the sense that there's a, Lord, there's a joy in the camp tonight. And we thank you for that, dear Lord. And we don't take that lightly. We know that it's because you're here. And we know, God, that we've been set free and we have liberty in you to be able to enjoy ourselves. And we thank you for that. Dear Lord, we just pray now that you will continue to speak to hearts. And for those that are lost tonight, Lord, we're not putting them down. We're trying to lift them up. And Lord, we love them and we appreciate them coming tonight. And I pray tonight, God, that they'll let you speak to their hearts and they'll listen to you, Lord, and let you have your way in their hearts and lives. And then, Lord, as the invitation is given, I pray, Lord, they'd come and realizing that they're a sinner and realizing that you save sinners, I pray they'd come and ask you to come into their heart and save them. Lord, I know that they have to be called by the Holy Spirit. I understand that. And but then, Lord, I also read where it's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I can't help but believe that if there's a lost person here, I would think that you're going to call them to repentance. So we ask you tonight, God, to have your will and way. Lord, I pray tonight for that Christian that's backslidden, that this will be the night that they'll come and get things right with you. Pray for that Christian tonight that desires that close walk, that glorious relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray tonight, God, that they'd come to that place where they realize I can have this relationship and they'd begin tonight. And then for that Christian that's walking hand in hand with you tonight, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd just, Lord, put a little more in their cup. Fill their cup to where it's overrunning, where they'll have to drink from the saucer, Lord, because the cup's just overfilled. Lord, have your way tonight. In Jesus' precious holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I have thoroughly enjoyed preaching to you this week about having a relationship with God. I think the reason that I have, that I've enjoyed it so much is because it's challenged me to have a relationship. Brother Randy, I would dare say when you preach a message to the congregation, it always does something to you too. Amen. And it does to me. And I praise the Lord for that. And I figure if God's not going to speak to my heart out of it, he sure wouldn't speak to anybody else's. Amen. But it's been a joy. It's been an encouragement this week. And I've sought the Lord to just get a little bit closer this week. And boy, I tell you, it's been exciting to get to come in here and at 6:30 in the evening and to kneel down and pray and then to have prayer a little bit later on and then to have prayer as the service starts and then have prayer a few times during the service. And woo, it's good to pray and talk with God. Amen. I mean, he's our Father. I believe he likes his children to talk to him. Amen. And so it's been exciting, and we're excited about the relationship that God wants us to have. As we look at these two verses tonight, we find some things that will help us, my friend, if we will listen to God. God's got this thing already worked out, not just figured out, but you see, a lot of folks got things figured out, but things don't always work out the way you've got them figured. Amen? And there's a lot of folks going to be disappointed when life comes to an end because they've got it figured out. When you die, they put you in the ground and you rot. That's it. A lot of folks believe that. Oh, but I'm going to tell you something tonight. It don't work that way. Amen. It don't work that way, praise the Lord. I'm glad there's an eternity waiting on us tonight. Amen. I am thankful for that there's an eternity just waiting on you and I. But tonight, listen, we get to thinking about that, and I think, oh, you know, God has. He's got it all planned out. Everything's already planned out. He's got it all worked out, my friend. He already knows how things are to be. And so in this plan, in this desire to have a relationship, God's got that too worked out so that you and I can have a relationship with him. Amen. Now, the devil, again, folks, listen to me. There's no doubt in my mind that as you've sat there this week, that as you begin to get a little excited and thinking about the possibility of you and the Lord being very close. Amen. After all, who is Jesus? Now, we know he's the only begotten Son of God. But we also know this. He's a son. He is the Son of God, meaning the only one like him. Amen. But aren't we all children of God? Now, if we're children of God and he's the Son of God, what does that make us? Brothers. Amen. Shouldn't we have a close relationship with a brother? A sister? Amen. And so the Lord wants that relationship. And as we sit here this week and we think, wow, you know what? Yeah. It's not like God's way off and his throne is way yonder in heaven and I can't approach him. No, no, no. It's like I can come into his presence. After all, the Bible tells us that in the book of Hebrews, that we can come into his presence. Danny Long, listen to me. You don't really know who I are, do you? When I pray, listen to me. When I pray, I come into the very presence of God himself. Amen. But I come through Jesus Christ, that only begotten Son. And he makes it possible for me to approach him and to just, listen, some folks have a struggle. I don't know how to pray. I can approach him in all I do. We call it prayer. The Bible calls it prayer. But all I do is talk to him. That's what a young man, a boy, that's what he does with his earthly father. He approaches him and talks to him. That's what prayer is when we talk with God, just commune with him, fellowship with him. Amen. But there's no doubt in my mind as you've sat there this week and well, God has been speaking to your heart and you think, yeah, I can have that fellowship with God. I mean, I can walk with the Lord too. The devil said, this is not for you. This is only for a select group. And you don't fit in. Let me remind you of one characteristic of the devil. He's a liar. Amen. He is a liar. The Bible even says that he's the father of lies. He's a lying scoundrel. Amen. And boy, I'm going to tell you, though he says you're not one of those that can, you can stand boldly and say, get behind me, Satan. Because his word promises me that I can have that relationship with him. And you and I can. As common, plain, ordinary, everyday human beings, saved by the grace of God, bought by the precious blood of the Lamb, we can have this precious, this glorious, this hallelujah relationship with God. Amen. And so God, he tells us that. The devil says no. And God said, oh, yes, you can. Now, let me ask you a question. Who are you going to listen to? We know that the devil is a liar. And the Bible says that God is all truth. So which one are you going to listen to, a liar or truth? Your decision. But in Romans chapter 12, we read these two verses. We're going to try to get started with the message. He says, I beseech you. He's saying, I want to get your attention. Amen. I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. Amen. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. And the therefore is because of what is previous. And I don't believe it's just the former chapter, but I believe it's all the book of Romans that he's talking about here. He says, because of that, brethren, I want to encourage you by the mercies of God that you do what? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what we've been preaching about this week, literally, is this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's meaning, my friend, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. And we become close to God because we have presented ourselves as a living sacrifice. Now, who do we present ourselves to? God. Amen. We present ourselves to God. Now, I know you say, well, I don't feel like I'm a trophy. Whoa, wait, whoa, just a second. Jesus Christ died for you and I. To God, we're a trophy because this is what His Son died for. It's kind of, excuse me, this is a little bit on the crude side. It's like going into somebody's house. They got a big old buck deer's head and shoulders on the wall. Huh? And they say, I got that. I bagged that thing. I shot that thing. Boy, I killed him. Amen. We brag because it's a trophy that we obtained. Amen. And the Lord looks at us. Thank God we're not stuffed and on the wall. Some of you look stuffed, but we're not on the wall. Amen. But we're not stuffed and on the wall. In other words, we're not dead in the sense of that bug. But we are a trophy because we're dead in the sense we have presented our bodies a living sacrifice. And we're His trophy tonight. You say, Brother Danny, I don't know about this. Remember Job? The devil and the Lord are having a conversation. And God said to the devil, He said, have you considered my servant Job? He's a trophy. He's a trophy. You know why? Because even in the Old Testament, Job had presented himself a living sacrifice to God. He had denied self. And he had put God first in his life. He was a trophy, my friend. And I tell you what, I want to be a trophy. Oh, it's not because that deer did anything worthy of being killed. Amen? He just happened to run out there, I shot, and he ran into the bullet. That's the way most of them are killed, you know. Amen? But it's not that he is a trophy in the sense that he's so wonderful. I've even seen him where they've shot him, and they got two little old things sticking out the top there, and they call that a rack. Amen. That ain't much of a trophy, but whoa, whoa, whoa. To that 12-year-old, 13-year-old boy that shot that thing, it's a big rack on that deer. Amen? Are you getting my point tonight? We may not think we're worthy, but it's not about our worthiness, my friend. It's that Jesus died for us. Amen. So he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. Folks, we're not trying to get you to do something that's unreasonable. You say, Brother Danny, but boy, you've challenged us every night. It's like, man, take a big giant step. And for some of us, it is a big giant step. But let's just get real plain with each other, okay? That's no big deal because that's your reasonable service. To walk with the Lord, we have no right as we take this step with God this week and we keep on walking with the Lord. We have no right to think, man, look at me. Some of them didn't respond, but look at me. No, 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 no. We're just doing our reasonable service. We're not doing God any special favors. We're just right there with grade. Amen. Amen. But God still wants us to do that. Because you know why? Some of us haven't got that far in our life yet with God. And He challenges us tonight. And then verse number 2, He says, and be not conformed. Be not like. Do not fit in with this world. That's what He's talking about. Be not conformed to this world. But He says, be ye transformed or changed. Amen. Changed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the changing. Literally the changing. The renewing is a change of your mind. It's a changing of the mind. We say it, it's of the heart, and it is, and it's of the mind, because, my friend, it's going to be that way too. Amen. But He says, by the renewing of your mind, by the changing of your mind. And let me tell you something. You and I are not capable of changing our mind or heart to the point of serving God. You know why? We want to do the things of the world. The changing of the mind comes about because we presented our bodies a living sacrifice unto Him, and He, God alone, is the only one that can change our mind. He puts within us the thought, I want to live for Jesus. Remember, one of the points was a desire. A desire. That's how come tonight, of the changing of the mind. Amen. We were sitting in a service. Someone came to our house on the job. Some way, somehow, the Word of God was preached or shared with us. And we received that Word and believed that Word and got born into the family of God. And a desire came over us to live for God. Yeah. What happened? A change of mind. Amen. Let's be honest a little bit more. For the child of God, we really don't enjoy the things of the world like we used to, do we? Huh? I just find that they're not so glamorous anymore, the things of the world. I just find they're not so pleasing anymore. I don't get the ha, ha, ha out of the world that I used to get. Amen. Why? Because my joy no longer is in the world, but it's in Jesus Christ. And boy, I can have some fun in Jesus. I was going around just as the service was already starting. Brother Danny was already and going. And I was walking around still doing some visiting. And I was having a good time laughing and poking at folks, and some of them were poking back. I didn't like that, but laughing and joking and having a good time. And I came back up and I just walked over by Miss Pam, and she said, "What have you been up to?" I just enjoy being with God's people. Amen. And listen to me, there was a time when I didn't do that. As a matter of fact, there was a time when I didn't want to go to church at all. I didn't want to be around you weird Christians. Amen. But boy, talking about a change of mind, God changed my mind to where all of a sudden I realized this is a group of folks that know how to live. Amen. This is a group of folks that know how to live. You can do something here tonight and it'll be all right to remember it tomorrow night and bring it up again. Amen. But that's not the way it is in the world. Most of the time when we have fun, we better keep our mouth shut about it. We find ourselves in trouble. But with Jesus, we want to go around telling everybody. Man, I tell you, last night at church, we had the greatest time. A young man came forward and trusted the Lord as his Savior. Woo, glory to God. Wait just a minute. Sound like you're excited about it. I am. Amen. So he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And look what else he says. He says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says when you do that, you'll know. Literally, he's saying you'll know what is God's will for your life. Most Christians are running around saying, preacher, how do you know what God wants you to do? How do you know God's will for your life? I don't understand it. I see some of you and it seems like you just go on living and doing things. It's like you automatically know what God wants you to do. How do you know what's God's will? By living for Him. By living for Him. You'll just know as you live for Him, as you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. You'll just start knowing what God's will is. He'll be showing. We're walking in the light now, see? And it's easy to see His will. I found out from walking in the light, it's easier to see His will than it is to do His will. I don't have a problem seeing His will and knowing His will. My struggle is in me doing it. Amen. Why? Because sometimes I don't let that change of mind kick in. Amen. And so with these things in thought, we got to get to the message or we won't ever get through tonight. And I know some of you have already told me you need to be out by midnight tonight. So we're going to rather rapidly go with this one. Amen. But how can we, let's walk with the Lord, Brother Danny, but I don't understand how to walk with the Lord. I just don't know what you mean by that, walk with the Lord. I thought it was, you know. I mean, I'm saved. I thought I was automatically walking with the Lord. Well, you started out that way automatically. But after a while, we kick it out of automatic and go to manual. Amen. We start trying to live our way to and please Him at the same time. Well, how do we do it, Brother Danny? How do we have that close relationship with God? And how do we keep those distractions from distracting us? Well, I went through the scriptures, just picked out a few things I believe that will help us tonight. This is for the babes in Christ and for the old folks in Christ. Amen. I believe this will help every one of us. First of all, we ought to be looking to Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 29, turn with me over there. You need to see these. We'll just take some time tonight, even if we don't get through the message. John chapter 1 and verse number 29. John is on the scene and Jesus is coming. The Bible says in verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And now, look with me in verse number 36. Verse number 36, he saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw. I'm sorry, I've got the wrong verse, 39. 36. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, this is John again speaking of Jesus, behold the Lamb of God. What John is trying to do is get folks just what we've been doing this week. We've presented it in a different way, but it's the same thing. John is trying to get folks to look to Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. If you're lost tonight, the greatest person you'll ever meet is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you ought to come to Him. I mean, it'd be all right if during the service God pricks your heart, convicts you, you realize you're a sinner. It'd be all right to come during the service, come by way of the pastor and tell him, say, Pastor, I know the services are going on, but I want to get saved. You say, I don't want to disrupt the service. You won't disrupt God's service. You ought to obey God. Well, let me let you in on a secret. God knows when Jesus is coming back. And He may prick your heart to come and get saved while the service is going on, because before invitation, we might have already left here and gone home to be with Jesus. Have you ever thought of that? We're waiting on an invitation. The rapture could occur while we're waiting on an invitation. Christian, waiting on an invitation to get things right with God, it may be too late when you decide that it's invitation time, so you ought to come when God speaks, when God bids you to come, when He calls you, when He draws you. Any way you want to put it, it's when God's in control of your life saying, I want to save you. It's time to get saved, amen? John's trying to point Jesus out to the world. Behold, the Lamb of God. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. Hebrews 12 and 2. I'm going to go ahead and give you the first part of that verse. It says, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What are we to do? We're to look unto Jesus. How do you have this walk, Brother Danny, with the Lord? What do you mean having a walk with the Lord? How do you do it? You look unto Jesus. You get your eyes on Him. And you stay focused. The distractions come, but they're out here. You're literally, listen to me, you're literally blinded by the light that Jesus gives, to where all we can see is Him, and these distractions are kind of fuzzy objects to the side. Do you understand what I'm saying? For the child of God, listen to me, boy, again, I go back to when I first got saved, and it's been true ever since then. Well, the Lord became so real when I got saved. He became so real in my life at that point of salvation. And every day since then, He's gotten, here's some Alabama, here's some more of that Hebrew stuff. He's become more realer. Now figure that one out. More realer. Amen. He has become more real in my life. Why? Because He gets brighter in my life. Some of you older people, you know, listen, you're more excited about heaven than you were back 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago when you first believed. You're more excited. Why? Heaven's looking better all the time for you. Amen? And Jesus is looking brighter than he's ever looked before. As a matter of fact, the more I see of this world and see what they're trying to do and what they're trying to promote, I realize, whoa, boy, he sure is looking good. You see, sin to me has made Jesus even look better. Amen. Because I know what sin brings about. It brings about destruction. It brings about unhappiness. It brings about heartache, my friend. Jesus is totally opposite from all of that. He brings peace and joy. Whew. Hard to keep from shouting, ain't it? Praise God. I mean that, my friend, listen to me. We're to look to Jesus. How do you walk with the Lord, brother? And I want to, but how do you do it? Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Well, I'll tell you, he'll keep you on the straight and narrow. If that's where you want to walk, he'll keep you that way. Amen. He'll help you. Woo. When troubles come, he's still that very present help. Amen. He wants to help you, my friend. Just look to Jesus. And then I noticed something else we ought to do. If we're gonna really have that relationship, if we want to keep those distractions as far away as we possibly can keep them, listen, we need to listen to Christ. Look with me in John chapter number 10. In John chapter number 10. In John chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 and 27. John chapter 10, verse 4. He says, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Amen? Amen. Listen, I'm not Mr. Spiritual by any means. I'm just a born-again Christian. But I know the voice of God. You say, well, I don't know if I... Are you saved? Then you heard his voice. That's the reason you got saved. You heard his voice because he called you to salvation. Amen. Now, my friend, listen to me. I don't know how it happened in your life, but when he called me to salvation, that voice registered. It registered in my heart. What do you mean, registered? Well, it's his voice came into my heart in such a way that I identify with it every time he speaks. I know his voice. Amen. Look at verse number 5. In verse number 5 there, he says this, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Amen. I know the voice of God. I know his voice. It always lines up with the Word of God. You come up to me and tell me God told you to do some weird thing. If it's not in the Bible, it ain't that I doubt it. It's just that I plumb don't believe it. Amen. There's some weird things going on today in the name of God. But it'll line up with this book right here because this is the very Word of God. You say, well, Brother Danny, what makes you think it has to line up with that? Well, listen to me. Whoa, don't you understand this is a safety net for us Christians, us sheep? That's how we know the difference between the voice of God and the voice of a stranger. The voice of a stranger goes away from the Word of God, and the voice of God stays with the Word of God. That's for us sheep, so that we can know the voice of God. That's the reason we need to study the Word of God. Yes. Amen. Yes. So we can know what God's saying to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we don't listen to the strangers. What's that? That's the distractions. And we don't listen. Hey. Not me. Amen. Hey. Over here. See, sometimes that voice of the strangers, very soft and calm like. And then sometimes it's just right out loud. Hey, woo, woo, come here, hey. It's real flashy and shiny. Distractions. Well, they come in every shape and size, form and color and whatever else. Amen. And he's hollering. And we're saying, why we're looking unto Christ. And we know his voice. I don't have time for that stuff. And we keep walking with Jesus. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, this is a good life to live. Praise God. Oh, listen, we need to listen. We need to listen to Christ because he will never mislead us. He will never lead us, my friend, in the paths of unrighteousness, but he will always lead us in the paths of righteousness. You do some kind of sin and you say, well, God told me it was all right. I've known them, folks. I don't know what's going on with everybody here in the church, but I'm going to say this anyway. I've known folks, a man and woman living together, unmarried. That's ungodly. You say, well, that's the way we're living. Well, get it right with God and move out. Amen. Listen to me. Some folks says, well, I even prayed about it, and God said, whoa! You listen to a different God than the God of this Bible. You listen to yourself, God. The one that you want him to go along with everything and every way you want to live. That's the God you're listening to. You probably one of them that says it's all right to have a little drink every now and then too. God said, whoa, you better read your Bible and find out exactly what God did say. Amen? Because you're not misinterpreting it. You're just making up junk. Amen. Folks, I mean, you say, well, boy, Brother Danny, you narrow this thing down. Didn't he say it's a narrow way? Didn't he say that? Yeah, he said that. He said that in his word. And he says that in my heart. And if you're a child of his, he says it in your heart too. And it lines up with the book because that's what he said in the book. Amen. You see, folks, this world says there's no absolutes. They don't understand God because he's absolutely a God. As a matter of fact, he is absolutely the God and his word is absolute. Amen. And sin is sin. And you can know sin, my friend, because it's unrighteousness. And you can know righteousness too. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, God's got it down. We better get with his program and get with his book and find out what he has to say. We need to listen to Christ. Not only do we need to listen to Christ, we need to, if we're going to walk with the Lord, how do you walk with the Lord? Well, we need to love like Christ. Now, you listen to me. We need to love, not just love. And the world hollers, we ought to love everybody. Listen to me. Then these religions that come along and say, well, you know, God is love. Listen to me. The Bible says we're to love like Christ. Let me give you some verses and we'll see what we can do with it, all right? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. Ephesians 5, 2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Now you listen to me. Christ loved us while we were yet sinners. He died for us. He didn't love our sin. Amen. He's not putting up with our sin, but he loved us. Are you getting it now? You see, the world is saying we ought to love everybody. And what they are meaning is, and they'll go on with this if you push it, they're meaning you ought to overlook one another's sin. Overlook it. In other words, accept it because we're to love folks. That's not like Christ loved. If that were true, if that was the way Christ loved, Jesus died in vain. What was the use of him dying if God were going to overlook sin? But he doesn't overlook sin. He, as a matter of fact, read your Bible, and many times it says this, God judgeth sin. But thank God he does love the sinner. And we're to love the sinner, but not the sin. We're to be a witness to the world in a loving manner, but not tolerating their sin. You're welcome. It's the truth. That's the reason this world's in the mess that it is in. That's the reason for all these things, or these bad things that are coming about in our world. Listen to me. It's not global changing. It's sin. The Bible says this about God in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is just as important as the New. But God, the Bible says that God judges sin every day. Whoa. He does. My friend, we better find out exactly what God does have to say instead of just going along with the world. Well, everybody else says. Well, everybody else says. Whoa, what does God say? It's not important what everybody else says. It's important what thus saith the Lord. It's not important about my opinions or your opinions. It's like we've often said, opinions are like belly buttons. Everybody's got one. Amen. But it's not about the opinions. It's about what God has to say about a matter. Amen. Oh, I'm glad tonight, praise the Lord, that we're to love like Christ. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." Now, go back. We got to realize what love God, what love we're talking about. We're talking about God's love, not man's love. Remember, the other night we said this, and it is true, my friend. The world knows a love that would be better qualified as a lust instead of love. But God speaks of love in a whole different manner. With God, there's no liking. Are you listening to me? There's no liking. With God, you either hate or love. Love or hate. There's no in between. Amen. Read your Bible. There's no in between. Well, I kind of like you. No. I kind of like the way. No. It's either love or hate. You say, well, hate sure is a strong word. Hate is no stronger than the word love. As a matter of fact, I would dare say love is a stronger word than hate. For it's the love of God that constrains us or keeps us living right. It's the love of God that saved us. It's the love of God that sent His Son to earth to die on Calvary. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, we need to love like Christ. We need to love that with that genuine godly love. You see, it's easy for us to look at one another and say, "Oh, I love you." And we never give it a thought again about the situation that person's in, and never even bring them up before the Lord ever again. We say, "I love you." If we really love like Christ, you know what we'll do? We'll pray for one another. We'll have genuine concern one for another. Pastor said it the other night. I don't remember what night it was. We'll even love our enemies. Not with just words, but with actions. Those that do us wrong, we'll pray for them. Why? Because we love them. And we won't be praying, "Dear God, put a wart on their nose. God, bring chastisement upon them. Lord, I pray for a hailstorm to beat them almost to death and they have to suffer the rest of their years." That's not God's love. No, God's love is when we pray for that individual that has done us harm. They've said bad things. Whether it be a liar or the truth, they've talked about us. And they meant it for negativism. They meant it to hurt us. And we go to God on their behalf and we say, "Dear Lord, forgive them. They really don't know what they're doing." Isn't that what Jesus prayed at Calvary? "Forgive them, for they know not what they do," as they are crucifying the Son of God. And we're to pray that same. That's the love of Christ that causes us to genuinely love one another, not just one another as Christians, but the world, to genuinely love them. And when they, I mean, they do so wrong, and they do all kinds of hideous crimes, and the Christian realm wants to jump up and say, "Man, I tell you, we ought to kill them." Wait, whoa. You know what I figure they need more than death? They need life. They need eternal life through Jesus Christ. They need to know the forgiveness of God of their sins. Amen. You say, are you against capital punishment? No. I'm for it. It's scriptural. Amen. It is scriptural. Well, you just said, I know what I just said. I'm saying, my friend, our number one goal is to see folks saved. It's not to put them in an electric chair or a gas chamber, but it's to see them saved. And if they've committed a crime then they're and guilty of, then they must pay the price. Amen. That's what God teaches. But I'm saying we ought to love them, not hate them, because of the things that they've done in their life. Oh, listen, folks, we need to love as Christ. We need to be living as Christ. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 6, he that saith he abideth in him, talking about Jesus, ought himself also to walk even as he, Jesus, walked. Amen? We say that we abide in Christ, but then we ought to walk as he walked upon the face of this earth. How was that, Brother Danny? Well, listen, Jesus walked with a close relationship with God. What we've been preaching all week. We're to walk in that close relationship with God. Jesus did it. He showed us. You say, but he is the Son of God. I know, and we're in him. And we ought to walk as he walks. Boy, that'll change things when we realize the Lord, Jesus Christ, wouldn't go to some of the places we go. Boy, it's nice and quiet, isn't it? Be a good time for somebody to turn a cricket loose in here. Amen. We need to walk as he walked, my friend. I mean, listen to this. The Bible says, look with me in Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter number 17. Here in Acts chapter number 17, Paul is talking with a group of folks. Their concept of God is it could be any God, whatever God, wherever God, and all that kind of thought. And so they built an altar. They built an altar. They were worshiping all kinds of gods. The sun god, the moon god, the star gods, and all of the galaxy god, and all of this kind of stuff. And so they even, after covering all the gods they could think of, they built one more altar. And they had an inscription on it said, to the unknown God. Just in case we missed one, there could be that we missed a God, so this is to the unknown God. Boy, isn't that pathetic? There's some folks that they trust Jesus as their Savior just in case all the other ways they're trying doesn't work. They're still covered. You can't get saved that way. You got to deny all other gods. Turn from them to Christ, knowing that he is the only way. There's not another way, but he's the only way. So they set up this altar, and so Paul is preaching to them. He's telling them they're wrong, that there is a God that is true, that's real, and they can, hey, they can tear down all these old altars that they've built, my friend. They can tear down all their idols and trash them, my friend. They can get rid of all these things, and they can start serving and trusting the one true living God. Amen? That's what this church preaches. That's exactly what this church believes, that there's only one God. You don't need to be this and need to be that and then come over here and be a Baptist and go over there and be this. My friend, listen, you need to be a Christian and forget all these other things. Quit wasting your time, all your effort. Just put it all in the one true and living God and have that close relationship with him. Amen. So as Paul is going on with this, we look at verse number 27, Acts chapter 17, verse 27. That they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him, now remember we're talking about living as Christ. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We live in him. He's that's our being is in him. Amen? That's the only way I know how to function, Brother Randy. I'm serious. Is in him. I did a poor job of functioning when I was lost. I was so shy and backwards. I mean, really, I couldn't do anything. I mean, the very best that I could do, it was still a mess. It was a disaster. Boy, I just couldn't do anything. And all of a sudden, Jesus finds me and lets me know that I'm a sinner, lost, and on the road to hell, and that he is the Savior. And I came to him, and I asked him to come into my heart, forgive me my sins, and save me, and he did. And all of a sudden, I began to quit functioning in old Danny and started functioning in Brother Danny, in the new me. The Bible says we become a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I began to function in him, amen. I mean, my being was in him, and it's the only way I know how to live, folks, is in him. And I'll be honest with you, I'm having the time of my life in him. Amen. I mean, from church to church to church, from state to state, and at home, and wherever I go, my friend, I'm enjoying life. Why? Because I'm living it in him. Amen. I believe, honestly, Jesus enjoyed his time here on earth. Well, I know we could debate about that because he left heaven and all that. But let me remind you, he came here to do the Father's will. I figure he enjoyed doing the Father's will. It wasn't such a burden. You say, Brother Danny, man, look how they treated him. No. You're looking the wrong way. He was here to please the Father, not himself. And so even whether they tried to crucify him early or whatever they did, I believe he still enjoyed it. Why? Because he was here to serve the Father. It's a joy serving the Father. Ask Paul and Silas there as they were in jail. Ask them while they're in the jail. I mean, the wounds are fresh from that whip on their back. Ask them. Isn't it awful? Isn't it such a terrible burden to serve God? I see them as they look at you and say, are you crazy? That's the greatest life I've ever lived. Amen. See, we get our eyes on the suffering part and we just can't get beyond that because of our flesh. But there's another part of me that says, "Woo, man, I'm having a time. Even when folks don't love me, I'm still having the time. Amen. When folks don't accept what I got to say, I'm having the time. Even when you're up preaching and folks look at you like, are you crazy? Do you really believe that? Yeah, sure do. What is it that you believe that gets you so excited? Huh? I'm just telling you, folks, I believe the Lord enjoyed living here on earth, for he was here to do the Father's will. It can be a joy serving Jesus. It don't have to be a plague. Amen? It can be a joy. The sooner you find this out, the better off you're going to be. Some of you are fighting so hard against the Lord's will in your life, and you're fighting a losing battle. You're doing everything you can, and God's speaking to your heart, and you're fighting against that. The preacher preaches, you fight against that. You won't read your Bible, because if you do, you got to fight against that. You're not going to pray right, because if you do that, then God's going to answer, and you're going to fight against that. You're just fighting, fighting, fighting. Won't you give up? I surrender, Lord. That's what happened when I got saved. I surrendered, and all of a sudden I had victory. You say, Brother Danny, no. When you surrender, you don't have victory. In the Christian life, you do. All to thee I surrender. Amen? Well, I'm telling you, that's the only way to have victory. Surrender your will to God. Let his will be done. Amen. And so Paul is telling them, he said, there even certain of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. What's he saying? Some of your own people have even said, we're God's children. We're the children of God. Amen. I am. I'm guilty of being a child of the King. I don't look like much, and I'm not. But, oh, my father and my brother that we've talked about tonight, oh, he's something else. Amen. We ought to live as Christ lived. Let me give you a couple more, if I may. We need to labor with Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that your labor be not in vain in the Lord. Boy, he's instructing us to be steadfast and unmovable, to labor in the Lord. When we labor in the Lord, it's not in vain. You see, here we are, listen to me, here we are, we're trying to get everything we can in this world. We're trying to obtain everything that we can. If I'm preaching and get in this area, I grab song books up and I get all loaded with all the song books, kind of showing things of the world. Here's this pleasure and here's this pleasure and here's this pleasure, and all of a sudden we're all loaded down with all the things of the world. And boy, it's so burdensome that we've got all of these things of the world. We got to take care of these things. We got to tend to these things. We got to spend time with these things. Amen. And we got all this, my friend. And what it is, it becomes a burden. And all the labor that we put into obtaining all these things is in vain. But the labor that we put forth in the Lord Jesus Christ is not in vain. Amen. Those things will go to heaven with us. They'll be there at the judgment with us when we stand. Not to put all of our good deeds on one side and our bads on the other to see which outweighs. No. But for rewards. Not to see whether we get to heaven, but because we're going to heaven, we live godly in this present world. Amen. We live godly that we might be the testimony for others to see that they too would want to walk in this same narrow pathway, having the same relationship that we're having with Him. Amen. We're to labor with Him, my friend, and this labor is not in vain, and this labor is not laborsome. Boy, the things of the world will give you out. We usually put it like this. They're working themselves to an early grave. That's where the labors of this world would take you, is to an early grave. We're laboring for Jesus. You say, well, you're going to die anyway, but, oh, wait, whoa. Didn't He promise us eternal life? Amen. More to labor for Christ. My goodness gracious, the laboring is not in vain, my friend, and it produces life eternal in us. Amen. Praise God for that. The labor with Christ, my friend. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, remembering without ceasing your labor of love. We're to labor with Christ. Let me give you this one last one, and we'll close with this one. Then we're to, how do you, Brother Danny, how do you have that close relationship with the Lord? How is it that you can walk close to God? I mean, Brother Danny, you talk about distraction. Man, they're strong. They're it's not like they're off over here. Brother Danny, it's like they're right here pulling and saying, come with me. Whoa. The only way that distractions can get a hold to you is if you let it. Amen. You know another way that I keep distractions away. And I'm not bragging on me, because God's given me this way just as He's given it to you. There's another way that God helps me to deal with distractions. And that is, I keep longing for Him. Longing for Him. Wanting to be with Him. In this life, yes. But boy, I'm longing for Jesus to come. I'm expecting it. I'm looking forward to it. Yes, I am enjoying this life down here. But, oh, it's going to be wonderful there. Amen. I mean, it's going to be glorious there, my friend. The Bible says this in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Bible tells us in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you looking for that appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Don't you get to longing for Him to come back sometimes? Boy, when I get to thinking about at any moment He could come back, those distractions even seem like they get farther out of sight. Because we go back to the first one. I keep looking to Him. Amen. If we start focusing on the distractions, you know what? They're going to overtake us, for we've gotten our eyes off of Him. Our victory is not in ourselves. Our victory is, it's not in me keeping my eyes on the Lord. It's not in me and my eyes. But it's on, the victory is from the one that I'm keeping my eyes on. Amen. It's nothing that we can do for victory other than keep our eyes upon the Lord. Now, I'm telling you what, He gives sweet victory. Amen. And you know, I go back to the beginning of this thing. The whole picture is this. This victory, this walk, this close relationship is for each and every one of us. No one is God exempted and left out. He says, but it's for whosoever will. Anyone that wants it can have this close relationship. You can leave here tonight saying, I'm going to walk hand in hand with Jesus. Lord, by your grace, I'm just going to walk for you. I'm going to present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. That's just my reasonable service. Lord, I'm going to start with that's reasonable, and I'm going to build upon that. I want to get close to you, Lord, and I'm not going to settle for anything less. And God will honor that. God will honor that. Why? That's who He's looking for, somebody that will stand and say, I want that relationship, Lord. Remember Caleb? When he came down to it, Caleb said, I want that mountain. You know what he got? You know what he ended up with? That mountain. Amen. Amen. And God will give you that life tonight if you really want it. Let's all stand tonight. Everyone standing. God deals with our heart tonight. Miss Pam's going to come and sing. I want you tonight to... We're going to let her sing a different kind of song tonight for an invitation. She'll sing number 41 with all the many miracles. Before you ever play it, I wonder with her heads bowed and her eyes closed, I wonder if there's someone here tonight that would say, Brother Danny, I'm not saved, but I want to get saved. I want to know this Jesus. I want to get my eyes on Him. And I want Him to save me. Brother Danny, would you pray for me? Is there one like that? Would you slip your hand up tonight? If you'd like to be saved, amen. Is there another one tonight? You said, Brother Danny, I would like to be saved. I'd like to know Jesus is my Savior. I'd like to know that my sins are forgiven, that heaven's my home. Oh, it'd be glorious to walk out of here tonight knowing that I am forgiven, and that my sins are taken care of, and I don't have to stand before God with them, and that they're gone. Brother Danny, please pray for me. Is there one more right quick before we pray? Is there another one? I wonder if there's a Christian here tonight say, Preacher, Brother Danny, I'm one of those been fighting with God. I know He don't want to hurt me, and He's not going to hurt me. I know. I know He wants what's best for me. I know that. But I've been fighting against God. I've been wanting my way, but I realize tonight that's what it's going to be the rest of my life if I don't give in to God. I'm going to keep battling. This is going to be a fight from today on. It's just going to continue to be a battle. And Brother Danny, I'll never be able to win this battle because no one else has, and I am no exception, and you're not. You're not an exception. This battle will go on and on and on until Jesus calls you home. Or you can surrender tonight and say, "Dear God, I'm fighting a losing battle. I don't really want to, Lord. I want to give up. I want to die to self tonight. I want to be raised to walk in newness of life. Would you pray for me? Brother Danny, would you pray for me?" Is there one like that tonight? All over the house. Yes, God bless you. Is there another one tonight? You tired of battling? You tired of battling? Why not surrender to God? Huh? Isn't the battle getting rough? Well, why not surrender to the Lord? How long is it going to take? Have you really got to get down there in the hog pen before you come back? Huh? Not everybody has to reach the hog pen before they come back to the Father. Are you one of those that's going to be stubborn enough that you have to reach the hog pen? You've got to lose everything that you've got. Let me remind you, I have seen men that have lost their wife, their children, their home, everything they've got before they ever turn back to God. I've seen wives do the very same thing. They got to lose everything they've got, my friend. They think they've lost them already. But I'm going to tell you something. When God strips you of things to get your heart, my friend, sometimes He strips you of the most precious things. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes you never get those things back. You say, "Brother Danny, pray for me. Pray for me. I want to get things right with God tonight." Is there one like that? Right quick. Yes, God bless you. I wonder if there's another one. Say, "Brother Danny, I know I'm saved. I know I'm serving the Lord. I just want to give a word of testimony by raising my hand tonight that God loves me and I want this walk with Him and I'm walking with Him and I'm going to keep walking with Him by grace." Would you slip your hand up as a testimony tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We ought to give Him praise tonight. We ought to glorify Him tonight because He's so good that He's put that in your heart. You didn't just get that from the world. You didn't just come up with it. But God has put that in your heart tonight. You might want to come and kneel down in the altar and thank Him tonight. It might be a good thing to give thanks. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You tonight, Lord, for Your goodness and mercy. Thank You, dear Heavenly Father, for speaking to our hearts. And Lord, I pray tonight, God, that You've challenged us, Lord. I pray that we will meet that challenge tonight and surrender even more to You, Lord. Maybe there's some things that You pointed out in some of our lives. We love You and we're walking with You. And we've got that relationship going, but maybe tonight You've pointed out some things in our life that just kind of keeping us a little bit apart from You. Just something that is between us and You. You've pointed that out tonight. Help us to come tonight and to get it out. And just go ahead and confess it tonight. And Lord, I pray tonight, Father, Lord, that You'd deal with Christians tonight in such a way. Oh, Lord, that we'd come and glorify You tonight by giving You honor and praise for what You're doing and what You've done and what You're going to do in our life. And then, Father, we pray for these that are lost tonight. Heavenly Father, help them to come. Help them to come to the pastor. Help them to come because, Lord, they need some help. They need some instructions in righteousness. And, Lord, help them to come tonight. Tell the pastor, "I want to be saved tonight. I know I'm a sinner. I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart and save me, forgive me my sins." Lord, help them tonight. Have Thine own way tonight in Jesus' name we pray. Let's keep our heads bowed as Miss Pam begins to sing. Kind of a peppy song for an invitation, but if you want to obey God, you ought to come. Amen. And she begins to sing tonight. You like to be saved? Come tonight. You like to get things right with the Lord? Come tonight.
God gave a bold command to cross the Jordan and take the land. Not to worry about the giants they would face, but when the spies return to tell the others what they had learned, they said for us to win.
Good night, just come pray. Bill, good night, just come and pray. Giving God thanks for the close relationship that He wants with us.
They said, "Children,
Don't
be a good
night.
Believe
come.
What you have heard.
Listen, there's any doubt in your heart that you say, well, I don't think I can have this relationship. Listen to the words of the song.
But let's not forget just who it is that we serve. With all the many miracles.
Yeah. Look what all he's been doing.
Why don't you think it's possible?
You're here tonight lost without Jesus.
With all the many things
he's called you to this service tonight.
Why do you think
he's invited you to come to this church tonight? That's the reason you're really here.
All the things he's done.
You say, well, so-and-so invited me, but my friend, listen, the real invitation came from God. Won't you come tonight?
Remember what is possible.
Come to Jesus tonight as he offers eternal life.
All the many
come on. He'll give you peace that passes all understanding. Won't
like
you come?
When we were about to die, manna fell from the sky.
Won't you
and
come?
Water came from a dry old dusty rock.
God's just trying to reveal himself to you.
And like when Pharaoh was closing in, God closed the sea again. But not before we all had safely crossed. So here you are.
Here you are again,
friend.
My friend.
You face a battle you
facing another big old battle that you don't think there's any possible way to win.
You tell yourself
just no way. Just no way. There's just no way you can have this relationship between you and the Lord. Just no way. That's what the flesh tells you.
God's been.
But just think about
He's
God.
He's been faithful time
He's the
again.
One that's faithful. He's the one we're counting on. It's not me or you. It's him.
You must believe, and here's the reason why. With all the many miracles, why don't you think it's possible? With all the many things we see, why do you think it's just a dream? With all the things he's done for us, don't you think it's time we trust? Remember what is possible with all the many miracles, with all the things he's done. Don't you think it's time we trust? Remember what is possible with all the many miracles.
You know, there's no coincidence for you being here tonight, and your testimony. Those of you who are saved know Jesus as their Savior.